Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. Delight to have you with us today. We're going to look into the story of an amazing firm called the MAG Firm, based in Evans, Georgia, which is near Augusta, Georgia. It's a business coaching and logistics consulting company that has been founded by a retired Lieutenant Colonel, Eartha Govan, who's our guest today. And she's proud to announce the launch of her company's comprehensive business coaching services, and it leverages some 35 years of unparalleled military service and leadership that Eartha has gone through. The firm works hard to empower businesses through strategic management, leadership development, and operational excellence. Now, retired Lieutenant Colonel Govan is a highly decorated Army veteran, and she brings to the fore a wealth of experience from her distinguished career in the military. That service, by the way, spanned over three decades and includes 30 years as an off-duty officer, active duty officer, that is, and an additional 5 years as a civil servant. And her roles, such as logistics management specialist and strategic planner, have taken her all around the world, from the drawdown operations in Iraq to building up military logistics in Afghanistan. She has an amazing story, and this company was all founded and inspired by her family's legacy of public service, a trait that was ingrained in her from a very young age by her uncle, who was a former law enforcement officer and an Army veteran. Anyway, her company does a lot of things, a whole suite of services designed to transform businesses and enhance leadership capabilities. And we're going to go through all of that with Eartha. She's on the phone with us. She's based, as I pointed out, in Evans, Georgia. But today, she is enjoying the warmth and the sunshine of Southern California. She's in San Diego on the line with us today. Eartha, welcome. Nice to have you with us from San Diego. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Doug. I am well. Thank you for having me on your show today. I appreciate it.
Listen, it's great to have you with us. I know you've been visiting your sister for the Thanksgiving holidays, and I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. Did you? Good for you. I knew you did. Surely you did.
We had a great Thanksgiving. It was wonderful. Good. Thank you for asking.
That's really great. So let me ask you a little bit about how you came to decide to found this firm. I mean, you know, you're remarkable. You spent 30 years in the military, and we thank you for your service. How did this company that you've started come about? Tell me about it.
Well, Doug, it was always a lifelong dream of mine to own my own company. That's one of the things I've wanted to do outside of being in the military as an officer. But my company was really kind of, inspired by my mother, and that is the name of the firm. My mother, the late, great Mary Alice Govan, I use her initials, M-A-G,
okay,
to form the company, and she
right.
was my actual inspiration for the company. And again, you know, having over 30 years in the military, having a strategic background, logistics planning, educational skills. I just wanted to do a company or build a company that can give back and help others. And there came the MAG firm.
So tell me who your company is designed to help. I mean, is it anyone? You know, are these people who are in businesses? These are people just starting out in their careers? And I know you do leadership, you know, coaching, obviously heavy into that. Tell me a little bit about the kind of people you help and who come to you for help at the MAG company.
Okay, thanks. Yes, sir. Thanks, Doug. That's a great question. So the MAG Firm LLC, we're a consulting business company. So our mission is to help everybody. You know, it doesn't matter if you're military. You can be a military professional, a business professional. You can be part of an academia organization or in the private sector. The firm was founded as a way to help everyone to build a path and create success for themselves. And again, I'm using this company just to help others get ahead. It's more like The Mag Firm is lending a helping hand to others, and I want them to prosper from my help.
Now, is it just you, or do you have a number of people who work with you in the firm? Tell me.
I do have one other person work with me. He is actually my IT specialist with me. And so for now, again, being a new company, it's just the two of us. But my goal is to expand our company, become a larger business consulting agency, and to give jobs to people to help them with their job success.
Get them ready for jobs. Now, look, I know you, among the things that you do at the firm, you, as I pointed out, you offer a suite of services that are designed to help transform businesses as well as individuals and their capabilities. You focus on, let's talk about leadership training and development, and I assume most of this comes from your vast experience in those years in the military. That has to be right. Am I right?
Doug, you're absolutely spot on. You're correct. All of the leadership training and development that I've done in the over 35 years working as an active duty officer and a civilian servant, I'm drawing on all of that experience with the leadership training and development. Again, you know, being an Army officer, one of the things we do is leadership. We're leadership, we're leaders. We help others deliver leadership and empower themselves as professionals to lead with distinction. So leadership training and development is one of the things I offer, one of my services I offer, because it's actually a good thing to have. And a lot of people don't understand that really you can give people a task to do, but if they don't have the leadership and the training and the knowledge and understand what they're supposed to be doing, they're not going to be successful. And so I offer that type of training, whether it's academia or even civil servant or the private sector.
Well, I know your service, and you're a retired lieutenant colonel. Obviously, you dealt very heavily with training people in the military, and that kind of education that one gets in the military is easily adaptable in the civilian world. I mean, they learn things there that can really help them, whatever job they're going on to, if they're in the civilian world, so to speak. So I understand how that is so important for you to teach. And I know you were an assistant professor and a professor of military science. Talk to me a little bit about that. That includes your background there. Tell me about that.
Yes, sir. Okay, so, Doug, I was an assistant professor of science, military science, at the College of William & Mary. It's in Williamsburg, Virginia. And I also was the professor of military science at Bowie State University that is located in Bowie, Maryland. Again, you know, our ROTC, Reserve Officers Training Corps, as a professor of military science, I teach leadership. I taught leadership. So ROTC is a leadership course, and that is what I taught the cadets and students and whoever listened about leadership, and not just being leadership in a military army, but leadership outside in the private sector as well.
Well, it's so critically important. You know, I know about that very well. I went to a military school when I was young. We had military ROTC officers all over the place, and it was run like West Point, you know. So anyway, I was very young, but I learned a lot from those guys. So I understand. And you did this, was that ROTC at William & Mary? Is that right? Or what was it there?
Okay, so yes. I was an assistant professor of military science at the College of William & Mary in Williamsburg.
Mm-hmm.
That was my
great
first
school.
It's a wonderful school. That was my first assignment as a professor of military science. So I did that for 2 years, and I guess I did a pretty good job. My actual battalion commander told me, hey, Eartha, let me tell you something. You're pretty good at this, teaching, coaching, mentoring. I think you should, for your next job, try to be the professor of military science. And, you know, I did that. And so I applied for the professor of military science at Bowie State University. You know, this is a boarded process. So you go through a board. You have to be selected by the board. And then not only do you have to be selected by the board, you have to be accepted by the president of the universities.
Wow.
So I was accepted. Yes, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So I was accepted by the university to lead the ROTC program at Bowie State University. And I did that for 3 years.
Let me ask you, I think that's great background for you. Let me ask you, what are some of the things you focus on teaching these youngsters, especially college students who may not be heading for, you know, they're in the ROTC, but they may not be heading for a military career. Let me ask you about that. Am I right about that? They're not, I mean, they'd be going into the military, or were they thinking of making it a career or not for the most part? What do you think?
Okay, for the most part, yes. For the most part, some of the cadets that were enrolled in the ROTC, they were not actually going into the military. Some of them wanted to go in briefly as a reserve officer, which is where they worked one weekend a year out of the month. But the majority of the students wanted to be in ROTC to join the military. And so some of the things I taught as a professor is, you know, time management is important for young people to know how to manage your time, how to, you know, leadership, of course, ROTC, the leadership course. How do you lead people? How do you work with people? Another thing I taught is teamwork. How do you work with a team of people that come together that of all different backgrounds? It's very a daunting task to bring together a lot of different backgrounds and then ask them to work as a team to accomplish a mission. So it's intense work.
Yeah, if you can accomplish that with college kids, you're really teaching them something very, very valuable that will help them later on in their lives, their business career. Another thing you focus on a lot is teaching organizational transformation and planning. Using proven strategies from your military background. So talk a little bit about that. What does that encompass?
Doug, thank you for that question. That's a lot of work, okay? So organization transformation and planning, and you got to add strategic in front of planning because you can't really transform an organization unless you have a strategic plan or strategic planning being done at the same time. So just to give an example, put in perspective, you know, in the Army, every time I went to an organization, I had to transform the Army organization. There were things that were going right, and there were things that were not working. So as a result, that organization required some planning and some transforming. Some of the processes at the organizations were working. Some of them were not. A lot of times I had to go in, as we say, tear the organization apart first and then put it back together. That's organizational transformation. Yes, and that's what I did a lot of time in the military.
Well, you know, there's so many things that you taught that make so much sense. And another area is logistics and supply chain management. That can be critical for a company if these people, you know, get jobs in a big manufacturing facility somewhere. That's very, very important. And you learned from the military's point of view how important that was. Expand on that some for me.
Yeah, that's a good question as well. So my experience in logistics and supply chain, again, I've been doing this for over 35 years. I started out as 17 years old, still in high school. I enlisted into the Army. I was doing logistics back then. So do you know how many times I've seen logistics transform and the supply chain transform up to this point? It's been a lot. And so in this supply chain and logistics, if you don't plan it right, it can be absolutely a nightmare. And not only for a company, but I'm going to give you my military background. You know, back in the late 2000s, we were in Iraq. And one of the things we were doing back then was we were going to draw down operations in Iraq. And then we were going to build up operations in Afghanistan. Well, if you don't understand planning and supply chain and logistics, it can be absolutely a nightmare, okay? Because what the biggest thing is, we have to figure out as planners with the supply chain is how are we going to draw down these operations, interact safely and smoothly, and then build up Afghanistan at the same time. So I spent a lot of time flying between, my home station was Fort Bragg at the time in North Carolina, but I spent a lot of time, I deployed to Kuwait, and that was my forward operating base to assist the senior leaders and combat units there. So I spent almost 18 months in Kuwait with other military planners in Iraq and Afghanistan working on several drawdown plans. And when I talk about the drawdown plans, logistics and supply chain, that includes the people, the equipment, and other resources. It can be a challenging task if you don't plan it right.
Well, I totally understand. Yeah, I understand what you're talking about. When a military, you know, like the Army's pulling out of Iraq, all of this equipment and everything, how it's all done and coordinated. It's like Walmart or some other big company like Amazon trying to coordinate all of the materials and the products that they have to sell and ship and send all around the country and get in time so they have it when they want to sell it. That's really what you're talking about. It's teaching that. And that's very, very valuable advice.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
There's another thing that you do that I think would be remarkable, and that is you teach resume building and career transition services. Getting a good resume, if people don't know how to do it, they're cooked before they even start. It just they need a good resume. That's what we're talking about, right?
Hey, Doug, I was cooked before I even started, okay? So as I transitioned out, I thought I had a great resume. I didn't have nothing, Doug, I tell you. So I'm like wondering why when I apply for these jobs, I use my nice resume, and, you apply for the job, and you don't want to use the same resume for each job. You want to tailor the resume to that specific job based on your experiences. Okay, so I did that to a certain extent, but I didn't fully understand that, hey, just because you got all this great experience in the military, you need to figure out how to put that into civilian language, speak, should I say. And
right.
So what I did was I took a class on building resumes, learning to build resumes. And I found out a lot of good stuff. Again, you got to tailor your resume to even get through the application tracking system, which is the system that we use when we apply for a job. So if you go in to the application tracking system, if your resume is not up to standard, if it doesn't stand out in the crowd, that application tracking system is going to cut your resume off. And what that means is, you're not going to get a referral to the hiring manager. And that is what you want. You want a referral to the hiring manager. And the rest is kind of up to you. So I teach how to build a resume. I built several already for several folks. And this one person I had, he didn't even have a resume. And I built his resume from scratch, like using notes. And he actually applied for a job. And he got referred to the hiring manager. It was the first time he ever applied for a job.
Oh, that speaks. Did he have any experience, by the way, in his background?
He did.
That you could use? He did. Okay.
He did. He had military experience, but he didn't have a resume.
Wow.
Yes.
Something just came to my mind. I was in the Army, and I know what it's like. But you talk about building a resume. If somebody's had a job on the outside, in the civilian life before they go into the military, does a resume ever help you if you're in the military or
Absolutely.
Not?
Absolutely.
It does.
No, yes, it does. And here's why. And here's what people don't understand. You're in the military. You're serving. You serve in different assignments. A lot of times, more often than not, the next organization that you are going to, they will ask you for a resume and for your bio. And so, yes, you must have, it called me a smart book. So the smart book, you know, in the military contains your resume, your bio, and then all of your officer record brief source, senior NCO briefs to say, these are all the jobs I did in the Army as an NCO or an officer, and then it shows your resume on there. So then they'll be able to kind of like look at your resume, look at your skill sets, and then place you. And a lot of times they place you in the military organization based on your skill sets that they learn from your bio or your resume.
So it can be very, very valuable. No kidding. I guess it can. Let's talk a little bit about you. I'd love to know more about your background when you were in the military. You went in as very, very young. Tell me about your career. Talk about it, your years. 30 years in the military. What kind of positions did you do? How old?
Oh, yeah, I did a lot. So, Doug, I tell you, I enlisted into the Army when I was 17 years old, out of high school. I kind of looked at my uncle and followed his background. Some of the jobs I did was platoon leader. You know, that's the lowest level. Once you're commissioned as a second lieutenant into the military, in this case the Army, you're a platoon leader, so that means you have to lead platoons. And so normally a platoon is anywhere from 32 to 68, 70 people, more based on what organization you're in. So I was a platoon leader in the Army. From there, I moved into staff positions. Staff positions are at the battalion command level, brigade commander level. I did, you know, even though I was a logistics person in the military, and that was my background, I also did jobs that were not logistics, such as I was a Army adjutant, which is a personnel officer.
No.
So I was charged to do personnel requirements in the Army. So I did that as in the Army, which is, like I said, that was not necessarily logistics. However, it was a position I worked in. I also was an executive officer, second in charge of a company or a battalion. So I was an executive officer over several organizations. CONUS and OCONUS, I served in Korea. Japan, Okinawa, Japan. I worked in Thailand for a bit. Yeah, I was in Thailand for a bit. And I tell you, Doug, I've been all over the place.
I was going to say, you've seen the world on the military.
I've seen the world.
Take me through your ranks. Yeah, I know you retired as a lieutenant colonel, which was pretty far up there. Did you just go up, you went from private to PFC to sergeant and then major or something, you know, beyond that? Tell me.
Yes. Okay, so this is what I did. So first I enlisted. So I was a private. I was a PFC, which is a specialist. Then I transitioned and went to college and joined the Reserve Officer Training Course. So there I went ahead and did ROTC, and that's where I received my active duty commission as a logistics quartermaster officer in 1993. And then from there, I went on to just, you know, serve around the globe. Platoon leader, Yongsong, made it to captain. I had a company command of 238 folks out in Okinawa, Japan. Yeah, it was wonderful out there. I worked at the battalion command level. You know, commanding is a lot of work. But mostly, you know, the work comes with making sure you understand who you're working with at all times. That makes a big difference. And a lot of times, you know, in the Army, once you've done all your commanding positions, they send you over to staff. And staff positions are senior-level positions. They're normally at a two-star, three-star, or four-star headquarters, which I worked basically starting from 2010 throughout, well, actually, 2006, all the way up through 2016 is when I retired. And when I retired, they had a place called Defense Logistics Agency, which was a three-star command right in Fort Belvoir, Virginia.
Well, that's quite a remarkable background you had. I know you learned a lot in the military. Let me just ask a simple question. What do you think is the most important skill that you learned in the military that transfers over to the services that you're offering now today?
Doug, that's a great question. Thank you for that question. I can't really say it's just one, so I'm going to give you two skills that I think are important, but it's really more than that. Okay.
Yeah.
So the first skill that I learned in the military that transfers to the services I'm offering is discipline. So, you know, discipline is self-control. You have to be, you know, you must have the ability to control yourself. You have to follow rules, orders, in order to complete a task or mission. You know, if you think about it, a disciplined person never stops working on a task, even if the task is too difficult. Discipline, to me, is, you know, it's orderly conduct. It's also accountability. You know, from my perspective, you have to be accountable for your actions, the thing that you did and the thing that you didn't do. So that's the part of discipline, accountability. I actually learned discipline, you know, when I was in basic training. That's one of the first things they teach you in basic training is how to be disciplined, how to control yourself, how to influence yourself to do the right thing when no one is looking or no one is looking because someone is always watching, Doug. The first would be discipline. And the second skill I think is strategic planning. You always have to have a plan, and having a plan is important. And not just, you know, to do a mission or so forth. Having a plan is important to negotiate life and daily activities. I mean, if you don't have a plan to negotiate how you're going to live, what you're going to do, you know, where you're going to be 2, 3, 4 years from now, you know, you'll be marching in place. I tell you, Doug, and let me tell you something, Doug, marching in place will get you nowhere, okay? So I learned the importance of strategic planning early on in the Army as a cadet at university, as a cadet. And everything begins with a plan. And even when I was a professor of military science at the universities, you know, I taught ROCC. I taught leadership. And I always taught the cadets, you always have to have a plan. Start planning early. Don't wait to start planning. It's important that you develop a 2, 3, or even a 5-year plan now. I mean, don't wait. Plan your life, you know, plan to help others, and plan for success. Because at the end of the day, you'll be surprised at what you can accomplish by having a plan. So I think the two most important are discipline and planning that transfers into my services offered at the MAG firm.
I think that's a great answer. Good for you. And, you know, if people come to you, and if you can get that kind of information and knowledge across to the students who come to you know, work and study from your firm, they're going to learn something that can be very valuable to them and their careers. I think you love what you're doing now? You find this really, you enjoy it?
Oh, I'm passionate about it. If I didn't, I wouldn't have started that company and wanted to help others. And, again, it's basically about helping others, giving back. You know, we need to help people, other people, on a path of success. Some people don't know how to get there. But if you know how to get there and you know what to do, why not pay it forward? Pay it forward, you know, help other people, help them be successful. And, again, the MAG firm, you know, founded by me in honor of my mother, is just a way of giving back to people who need help.
Well, Ertha, I love what you're doing. Let me point out something. You'll be back here again next week at the same time, and we'll talk more about it. But if anybody wants any information on your firm, there's a great place to get it. It's your website, and it's themagfirmllc.com. Themagfirmllc.com. That's great. It's a great website, too. So, Ertha Govan, thank you, Lieutenant Colonel. They still call you Colonel? I'll call you Colonel. How about that?
They do still call me Colonel.
All right, good night.
Ertha, thanks. Colonel, that's fine.
Thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it. And everybody listening, she'll be back again next week, same time. All right, Ertha, take care now.
You
Bye.
Have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit CloseUpTelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
Yes, indeed we do. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time, everybody. Till then, take care, and bye for now.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.